The Global Assembly is a podcast that connects our family of schools in the Wellington College Education Network by inviting our community to pause, think, and reflect. Wellington College life is well known for being busy and exciting. We talk about the Wellington Fizz. But with all that this brings, moments of calm and contemplation are deeply valuable. I'm AJ Starkordish, the chaplain at Wellington College and Wellington College Prep in the UK, and I curate the Global Assembly. Following her doctorate research at Oxford University, Dr. Katie Granville Chapman continues to lecture part-time and is a fellow of the Oxford Character Programme. Amongst her various roles at Wellington College UK, Dr. GC leads on staff performance and development and is the co-founder of the Global Social Leaders Programme, GSL. The GSL programme allows young people to design and lead social action projects that make a meaningful change in their communities, empowering flourishing. This podcast gives an insight into three of our students' GSL journeys with profound impact on their own ability to flourish, as well as real potential to make a difference in the wider community.
Anish, thank you so much for speaking to me. Love to know a bit about your GSL project, but first of all, tell us who you are.
So I'm Anish, I'm at Wellington College in Elizabeth, Lower Sixth. For Global Citizenship, I've tied to Wedding Leaders because I thought it was important for just having an impact on society as a whole, especially locally. A group of us came together and sort of had a similar idea, and we're all passionate about sport, so we all thought it'd be good to go into that and try help sport in some way. We sort of brainstormed at first what kind of things we could do, and eventually it led us down to trying to prevent certain barriers for some people to participate in sport. And we found out a lot of barriers to the equipment and just being able to actually play the sport in the first place. So then we searched up a few charities, seeing what we could actually do. And we realized that as a lot of us, we would have old sports equipment that we don't really use anymore, whether that be boots, just even T-shirts, anything. And it led us to a charity called SeekAid. So we sent a few emails to them back and forth, trying to find out what we can do to help. And they told us that they would just collect equipment. They send it off to the Caribbean and also in the UK. And they would collect any equipment, they'd give it to children. And they actually gave us, we had a meeting with them a few weeks ago, and there was a very touching story that they gave us. There was a kid that they gave a pair of football boots to for a session. At the end, the kid came back and tried to return the boots. Oh. And when they told the kid that it's theirs to keep, the kid was in tears.
Oh.
And that, I think, is all about what we're trying to do and make sure kids can enjoy themselves in sports and just have access to it. So yeah, so over the next few weeks, we're going to try to go around houses, collect as much old sports equipment that people have, anything that they can possibly have. And also I think we're setting up a Just Giving page to raise money, because as much as it's a charity, there is also a cost of transportation to get the equipment to different places, cleaning the equipment, all of this sort of thing. So I think we're going to send out a Just Giving page. We need to raise around £800 to £1,000, and we're hoping to get that done and all of it, all the equipment sent off to SeekAid by the end of this term.
Anish, that's amazing. Well done. Gosh, what an inspiring project. And what have you learned from it?
I think we've just learned how to work with different organisations. Yeah. So initially SeekAid, we looked at more than that. We looked at one with a former Wellington student, but you sort of have to analyse where you can do easily. So the other one that we looked at talked about possibly doing a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that'd be quite a lot of work and it'd be better. As much as fundraiser would give money, we wanted to focus more on the barriers of entering sport. So we had to sort of evaluate pros and cons mm-hmm. of what we wanted to do and whether it was the right option to go to SeekAid or a different charity. We had to have conversations with them, asking them questions, have meetings with them, those kind of things, just to find out what they're all about. And also if we wanted to work with them, not only if they wanted to work with us. So that was quite important for what we're doing.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. I so appreciate all you're doing and so, so excited to hear more about your project as it progresses. Thank you very, very much, Anish. Philippa, thank you so much for speaking to me today about your GSL project. Could you possibly just introduce yourself and then tell us a bit about what you've been doing?
Perfect. Hi, I'm Philippa. I joined Wellington in the Lower Sixth last September and I'm from Germany. And for my GSL project, I have been working with a few other students who are also part of the GSL group from Ukraine to promote and advertise women's health in the Ukraine and to support the women in affected areas in the Ukraine because of the war with women's health products, hygiene products, and just generally raising awareness about that.
Amazing. And what's been your favourite part of the project so far?
For me, a highlight has definitely been collaborating with the students from Ukraine, because it's so nice to just get to meet new people coming from different backgrounds and cultures. So it's been really, really nice talking to them, exchanging ideas with them. And just spending time with them, trying to, kind of create a project that's going to leave behind a legacy. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you, Philippa. And what have you learnt, would you say?
So first of all, I've learned to communicate a bit better, because at the start we didn't really know how to talk to the girls from the Ukraine and didn't know how to follow a structure in order to communicate well with them, especially because of the language barriers. But I think what's been really helpful is to, first of all, work together with a few people who speak Russian and English, so Russian, Ukrainian and English, so that they can translate. But also, having fixed calls with them, having a clear structure of what we're going to talk about, what we need to do, and just sticking to the timeline. So definitely organizing and time managing this project has been something that I've learned. But also I've just been able to learn a lot more about women's health and how the people, countries that are affected by war, are also affected by periods and all of that. That's kind of been a big part of it as well, to just learn about how limited they've essentially become.
Yeah, so tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what's next for your projects?
So we're currently organizing different ways on how we can raise funds that we can essentially use to buy products and flyers for the girls in the Ukraine. So we're thinking to do a half marathon.
Wow.
That we're gonna do to raise funds where all of the proceeds will go to the girls and the organization that we're working with. And then some other steps ahead are doing the Kingsley's run at Wellington as well. So we're going to kind of base it on running and hopefully getting some rewards from our parents from that running that we can use for the project. And then, I don't know, probably the main part that's ahead of us is just getting the products to the girls as soon as possible, to the woman, and to just raise this awareness as soon as possible, because it's quite an urgent issue. And we want to help them as soon as possible.
Brilliant, Philippa. Thank you so much for talking to me. So inspiring. Sandy, thank you so much for talking to me about your GSL project. Could you possibly introduce yourself and then let us know what you've been doing?
Of course. So my name's Santiago from my GC. I've gotten together with Ludo, Robert, Ahan and Vedant. And we decided that one of the biggest issues for people of our age around the globe is financial literacy, and that a lot of people have noticed that after graduation, they aren't as literate in terms of financial literacy mm-hmm. as they could be. And they're caught off guard by things such as starting to pay taxes, opening bank accounts, pensions and tenancy agreements and stuff like that. And so we decided we'd try and fix the problem by creating a website and an app at this point called mm-hmm. Budget Buddy, still up for change, that uses gamified learning to help students and people our age, so between the ages of 16, maybe 20, mm-hmm. to become more financially literate. So how it works is we have multiple different lessons on different subtopics such as taxes, budgeting, investments, etc. And each of these will have units and lessons. And you can kind of go through at your own pace. Each lesson is just a couple of minutes long. There's a reward system, a store, a mascot, and we have certain tools in our app. So we've developed a cost of living map where you can input two different cities and it will compare the cost of living. So average rent, average groceries, average travel. So the cost of all of these things.
Wow.
And it will tell you basically an average monthly cost of living in these two places. And this is for not all the way around the globe yet, but major countries like England, the US, some places in Europe, including Germany and Switzerland and Italy. We have China and India on there as well, and just a couple more places. And it does account for currency as well. Then we've also got a budget tracker, so you can input how much you're spending on different things just throughout the month. And then it will eventually tell you whether you're hitting the 50-30-20 rule or not. We also teach about the 50-30-20 rule. So if you're wondering what that is, feel free to use the app when it comes out.
Brilliant. I'd love to.
Yeah, that's sort of a small, short summary of what's going on right now. We have reached out to a couple of OWs for feedback and also ideas. So it's not just from people our age.
Mm-hmm.
We are reaching out to experts to get them to help us with information and also to test the app when it does get ready. So it's not just a group of 16, 17-year-olds working on this app.
Brilliant. Oh, it sounds so good, Santi, and so important. Definitely what the world needs. And what have you learned from the process?
So we ourselves, of course, we're the ones making the lessons. So we've become, I feel like, a lot more financially literate. Not to spoil that much, I was in charge of the budgeting section and part of the taxes section. So I've learned quite a bit about that just through the process of making the app. But apart from that, we've also learned a lot about sort of being able to reach out to and connect yourself mm-hmm. with people in certain fields. Mm-hmm. So I had my first meeting earlier this week with an OW. So I had to firstly reach out to him, draft the email, write to him, figure out a time, get a Zoom meeting, and then actually lead the Zoom meeting. And that was a new experience for me because I'd never interviewed or led
Brilliant.
This meeting with someone else, especially as a 17-year-old
yeah.
reaching out to someone who's
yeah.
20, 30 years old. It's a completely different experience for me. And then apart from that, we also had to do our own research on all the different topics, on website and app development, which is still ongoing, and then using and learning how to use resources like AI to be able to create something that you have in your mind is another skill that we kind of developed through this process.
Brilliant. Santi, it sounds amazing. Thank you so much for your work on it, and I can't wait to see it learn more. Awesome. Thank you.